Nash Next, The Journey, is sponsored by Country Inns and Suites. Making you feel at home is what Country Inns and Suites does best. With complimentary hot breakfast, Wi-Fi, and warm, heartfelt hospitality, you'll feel welcome the minute you arrive. And as the proud host of the Nash Next Live from the Lobby at Country Inns and Suites tour, we look forward to sharing our home with country music's next big names. Stay tuned to hear special Nash Next artist stories, and remember to book your stay at countryinns.com/music. Welcome to Nash Next, The Journey. This is the 10-part podcast series following Nash Next 2016 winner Todd O'Neill's life as an emerging country star. How you doing? My name is Robert Mathers. I'm your guide for this musical adventure, and I'm also one of the producers of the Nash Next program. Now, over the last four episodes, we've heard how Todd O'Neill got interested in music, how he made his way through the Nash Next competition, and we heard the story behind his first major label single release, Love Again, which is climbing the charts. Now, in this episode, we're going to talk to some of the finalists from the Nash Next Class of 2016. As a proud partner of Nash Next, Country Inns and Suites is working with us on a tour called Live from the Lobby at Country Inns and Suites. Now, at these shows, Todd O'Neill is joined by some of the Nash Next 2016 finalists for an intimate concert at select Country Inn and Suites locations. The kickoff to the tour was in Atlanta, Georgia, and while Todd couldn't play that one, and don't worry, we're going to catch up with Todd on a few other tour dates, I did have the opportunity to speak with Ashley Jordan, Trey Team, and Murphy's Ford. First up, let's talk to Murphy's Ford. They hail from Jefferson City, Missouri, and entered Nash Next 2016 on KBBM.
All right, Brandon, Ryan, thanks for sitting down with us. Let's just cut right to the chase and start with, how did you get interested in music?
Dad's played, basically. His dad was a professional, pretty much, but my dad just kind of picked around. That's kind of how I picked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, my old man was a heck of a guitar picker. And I started when I was young playing with him and got into that. And I don't know. Me and Brandon, we had long lives up until the point that we got together, but we started writing songs together after work kind of thing and started writing some pretty cool songs. And we... through those songs and through some other ties, we got hooked up with a guy in Nashville who manages us now as artist songwriters, but he mostly is on the songwriting side, and he books us songwrites in Nashville, so we get in with some big writers and write with them, trying to get a cut, trying to get somebody to record something we write, hopefully one of these days.
Yes.
What made you want to do Nash Next?
Our bass player in our band back home signed us up for it.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
But we're into all the anything that we can do to get exposure and push it farther and far as we can take it, or down.
It's been amazing, you know, so far. I had no idea it was going to be this awesome.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a Jefferson City Battle of Bands competition. It was a lot more highfalutin than we were used to or ever imagined.
What made it so different?
Up to hitting
the national finals, it was fairly similar. I mean, it was just kind of a normal kind of Battle of Bands. It's always kind of, all their Battle of Bands are at the usual kind of venues, and it's kind of the usual situation. But once we got to Nashville and seeing them setting up that big set and in there building stuff and putting lights and having VIP lounges and all the people who were in there for that thing and all the hors d'oeuvres and everything else, we were like...
Yeah, that was awesome too, but the radio exposure we got was just crazy. Oh, yeah. I mean, hearing your song on the radio every day, driving to work or coming back home, you know, it was... That was huge. I mean, it's made us
a
pretty
lot of
small town famous, you know, back home. So,
now since the finale, how has being part of the, you guys were a top 10 finalist.
Yep.
What's it been like since the finale?
It's been better. It's been a lot better. Well, a lot of it, just having the
holding that title of being a finalist
is pretty cool and gives us kind of a little bit of clout in a way, and Nash playing our song back home has turned us from playing a show. If we really didn't headline much. We did mostly opening slot kind of stuff, which was always good. But the last show, we just headlined one, and we had, I don't know, 250 people who we'd never even seen before, never met before.
Singing the words to our song.
So that right there is 180 for where we were, you know. It's crazy.
Now, Brandon and Ryan had to head down to soundcheck, but in a later show, we're going to spend a little more time with those guys.
Next up, I talked to Trey Team from Macon, Georgia. He entered Nash Next on 99WDEN-FM.
Tell me what it's like growing up in Macon.
Well, it's got a heavy, you know, it's got a heavy music background. So if you like...
Oh, just a little bit.
Yeah,
the Allman
well,
Brothers.
If you go, if you, yeah, yeah. But if you go, like, I'm not a huge Allman Brothers fan, but I like them. But, you know, if you tell other musicians in Macon you're not a huge Allman Brothers fan, it's like you stepped on their foot.
So how'd you get into music, Trey?
I just wanted to play one day. And I went and found a savings bond my grandmother bought me a long time ago. And I bought my first guitar with it. And I just kind of just sat down and started playing. And it just kind of went from there. I wanted to...
So you're self-taught?
Yeah.
Like a book? You have guys show you chords? You just
I mean, I was just
sort of...
on YouTube stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really how I learned. I think it's the best way anyways.
Sure, yeah. What? Who are your musical influences?
I don't know if I really have too many influences. I have people that I like, but nobody that I like.
Who do you like?
I like some of the guys, like now, I guess. When I first started playing guitar, I was playing a lot of blues, so I was watching like Stevie Ray Vaughan and guys like Jimi Hendrix, Buddy Guy, B.B. King, and Duane Allman, Derek Trucks, those guys. That's who I was. I guess you can say those were my influences when I first started playing guitar.
So you were more country blues?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I guess then, yeah.
So what got you into country?
It just kind of, the type of music that I liked just kind of went with country. It was, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't rock or southern rock or anything like that. It based more along the lines of country.
So you start playing, you teach yourself how to play. What, you know, where does that go from there? I mean, how do you get to where you entered the competition?
A lot of hard work. Lots of it. Lots of calling people, making contacts, meeting, playing, just making friends. It's been like 6 years into it, and Nash Next was kind of like the peak of that.
So what made you want to enter Nash Next?
It was an opportunity, and I saw an opportunity there, and I didn't want to pass something up like that. I mean, just give it a shot rather than wonder about it. And I mean, we made it to the finals, so that was fun. Everybody had it. It was a good experience.
So you won Macon, and then you got to be one of the top 10.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what the experience was like coming to Nashville and playing in that finale.
We have played in Nashville before. We do CMA week on Broadway and all that when because I like to be there when everybody's in town, so I try to get a slot every year. But being showing up to the airport and, you know, having everything taken care of for us when we got there, and it was a totally different experience than what we're used to. It was awesome.
Have somebody else sort of do your sound check and
yeah,
and
usually
all that.
We drag all of our own stuff, and it's a lot more work. It felt a lot more laid back, but it was a lot more exciting at the same time.
Now, do you do most of the writing?
Yeah, most of it. I've written with a handful of guys, but the only songs I've recorded are songs I've written.
And what where do you find inspiration? What's your songwriting process?
Really, honestly, what I do is like I get most of my song ideas when I'm driving, honestly, and it's just something that'll come to my head, and I'll just put it in my phone and just come back to it later when I'm sitting down and actually trying to write something and find an idea to work with. But I can't just sit down and come up with one. It's got to just kind of just let it come to me when it does.
Organic, like, right?
Yeah.
How's your life changed since you were one of the Nash Next finalists?
It's my name's out there a lot more, I guess. It's been a lot easier to book shows. It's got more of a leverage, I guess, something else to add to my resume and something else to tell people I've done, how far I've come, how hard I've worked.
So we had a few minutes before Ashley, Trey, and Murphy's Ford played down in the lobby at Country Inns and Suites, and I asked them to talk a little bit about their experience at Country Inns and Suites hotels. And this is what they had to say.
When we're out on the road, we love to go to Country Inn and Suites and go in, and they just make you feel right at home, smiling when you walk in the door.
Oh, yeah, just like Grandma's house, right down to the smell. The
right,
cookies,
right down
the food,
the fresh baked cookies,
the pillows,
continental breakfast,
the sheets.
We usually, I'm usually so on the go in the morning that I never even think to eat breakfast. So, like, when they offered that, they're like, oh, free continental, you know, breakfast. It was amazing. We went down, and I think there was there was a few of us. So we're like, oh, we could get cereal. We can have hash browns. We could have a bagel. And then when we have a bagel, then we could have some fruit. And then there's cinnamon roll. So we were like, it was all, it was like just everything you could ever imagine. It was like a buffet of amazingness. So I was very impressed with the breakfast, and that pretty much held me over for the whole day, you know.
The rooms are so big in the country and in Sweden, you can hold PA system, 16 amplifiers, two drum sets.
In Nashville, we had what? A drum set, two guitar amps, three guitars, and a banjo, I think it was.
And we were doing cartwheels in there.
Yep, somersaults.
Well, I love the rooms. I mean, the bed is, first of all, so comfortable. We, like, passed out on those because they were so amazing. I love, like, the outlook, like, the window, and just the bathrooms are great. I mean, lots of counter space for all my makeup stuff. I mean, come on. Girl loves that, you know, lots of space. I, like, took over the whole place, all my stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure the whole room is just covered with my stuff, and it's, you know, I really like it. It's great.
The rooms are real nice. It's real comfortable. I mean, if there's Country Inns and another hotel next to it, we'll probably end up going to Country Inns just because of how we feel about it.
Well, it's great to be able to get back to the hotel and just be able to have the Wi-Fi to call everyone, to tell them what was going on, text people, Skype, like, that's a great thing to have. And it's really hard, you know, when you're at other places and there's no service and you can't even communicate and no one knows, like, what happened. And, you know, it's great to have that connection with friends and family, and just getting to tell them about everything that's going on. And, you know, they wish that they could, you know, be here for so many things. So it was great getting to stay here at Country Inns and, you know, just being able to have that quick access to talking with them.
Can't resist the free cookie when we walk in the door. We get two or three of them.
Like, when you come in and they're, and it's not so formal, they're just like, hey, how are you? How's your day? Like, it feels like you kind of have already met them or that you know them. It feels like you're just coming to stay with a friend or something. They make you feel really, really welcome.
Staff definitely cares about how we feel about our stay.
Nash Next, The Journey, is sponsored by Country Inns and Suites. While country artists take the stage at Nash Next Live, Country Inns and Suites is also shining the spotlight on our military members and their families. Through their partnership with Operation Gratitude, Country is working hard to send a little touch of home to the men and women who couldn't be further from it. At each tour stop, there will be an opportunity for guests to write a letter of thanks. These letters accompany care packages that lift the spirits and meet the evolving needs of the military and first responder communities overseas. To honor the selfless service of these men and women, Country welcomes them and their families with the new Military First program. At check-in, military members and their families receive a special rate and the best available room, as well as Club Carlson's Silver Elite status after their first stay. It's a small token of the immense gratitude felt at Country. To learn more about the Military First program and partnership with Operation Gratitude, visit countryinns.com/military. One more interview for this show. Ashley Jordan and her Nash Next on Nash Icon, 98.9 FM WORC in Worcester, Massachusetts.
So tell me a little bit about your background. How'd you get into music?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I started kind of playing and singing when I was like 10 or 11, but I was like, I was a little iffy about guitar, so I would like write a lot of songs just kind of like in a diary, and I would kind of do it that way. And then when I finally learned guitar, like, I took formal lessons for a while. I hated it. I just, like, wasn't my thing. It was just very classical, and I was just like, oh, no, no. And so I just kind of taught myself, and I started street performing. You know, I finally kind of put the songs to the music, and then it all just kind of made sense, and I started street performing, like, in Boston in the subways. And, like, I told my parents I'm going to do this. They're like, You're gonna do what now? You're gonna go play in the subways? Like, no, no, no. I'm like, no, I really want to do it. I'm like,
so what? When you were busking on the T, what was what line did you have the most success with?
I would do it like every day. So it was just, I would go to different like sections, and sometimes I would just even come out like in the heart of like kind of Cambridge and Harvard Square, and play where people would get right off the T. So like, I just loved it because people, you can kind of judge, like, if you had a new song and what people thought of that, who stopped to listen. You know, you kind of, like, get to know yourself a lot better by, you know, the audience and people who come to, some people come and just sit and listen for like 3 hours. And I'm like, that's amazing. You know what I mean? You never get that close of a connection. I mean, you can at shows, but when it's like, you're standing right there and like people would just, some people would come up and like ask me directions while I'm playing. Like you just, you get all that ADD stuff going where you're just like, I'm focusing on what I'm doing. And
did I get this right? You've played Fenway Park a couple of times?
So I did Mixfest in Boston at the Hatch Shell, and that was the first time that I played for like 40,000 people, and it was like insane. It was very cool. It was actually from a competition, and then they're like, oh yeah, you're gonna, you know, play and do this show, and I'm like, okay. So it was such a blast, and that was the first time where I was just like I know this is what I'm meant to do. Like I just, you know, where you just have that moment where you're just like, mm-hmm. this fate, like, I know I need to be doing this, like, had the best time ever, you know, and it doesn't matter to me whether it's, like, 40,000, like, I don't care. I would love to play in front of an audience of two if they were just sitting there listening to me, you know,
now, where'd you grow up?
Harvard, Mass.
Harvard, Mass, okay.
Yeah, all I'm right. still there now, like, I travel and stuff, but I love just kind of coming back to there because it's so quaint and quiet and no one really bugs you or anything, and...
So how did you get hooked up with Nash Next? What made you want to enter the competition?
So through Nash Icon in Worcester, someone, I'm trying to remember exactly who told me about it, Bob Goodell, mm-hmm. was like, hey, Ash, like, I think this, you should check this out. Like, he's like, you know, I know you're kind of a mixture of country, you know, I don't really know what to call you, but you should do this. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, and I was just kind of iffy because I've done competitions before. And, you know, especially with local musicians, when you go against people, and it just, sometimes it's tough and it just makes things weird. I'm like, you know what, this seems really cool and it's, you know, my genre and what I'm interested in and, like, I love to do it. And, you know, and it kept going, like, farther and farther, and I was like, oh, like, this is probably, like, this is not, and it just kept going further and further, and I was like, wow, like, this is amazing, you know? So when we were finally, like, in Nashville, I was like, okay, now I totally understand, you know, it's such a great opportunity, and I was just honored to have even made it to that point. So,
as one of the top 10 finalists, as you mentioned, you performed in Nashville. How has life changed for you since October 25th?
Right. I mean, it has a lot. I mean, just the weight that this competition carries is huge. I mean, you know, I was telling people, they're like, oh my God, I heard about that. And I saw photos and I heard about it on the radio. And I, you know, so it definitely was amazing that I had that opportunity, that I got that far, and then also it really helped me kind of get to that next point with shows and, you know, just kind of getting to that next, you know, step in my career. So it was really helpful.
So
it was really
helpful. Have you got more bookings, more gigs through this?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Good. No, I've been doing a lot, so it's been really helpful, and it's so cool to get to say, you know, that I was a part of it. And not only that, just the connection that I built with everyone who was part of it. Like, everyone mm-hmm. was so cool, so nice. Like, you know, it's hard to find because, I mean, the industry is very competitive, and I know that, and sometimes you're just like, oh, but everyone was so great, and we just had that connection of getting to be a part of something much bigger than ourselves, and it was amazing, so.
Do you keep in touch with any other finalists?
Yeah, all the time on Twitter, like, Facebook, liking stuff back and forth. Like, they're all so talented, so. It's right. So cool to get to hear everybody's different music and stuff. Like, as a songwriter, like, it's cool to kind of sit back and listen to what other people write and just go, oh, I like that, or, you know, just it's really cool. It's really cool to have that connection. So,
what drew you to be a songwriter?
I just love, I've always loved writing, and I think it was an outlet. You know, I said in one of my video packages for the competition that, you know, bullying was a tough thing for me, and I think my kind of like outlet was talking about different things that I saw, things that happened to me, and just putting them in a song, and I felt like it kind of like could release them. I'm like, now I can move on. I mean, I still do that. But yeah, it's like a little bit of like music kind of therapy where you write about things that you see and stories and things that have happened to yourself that you think, hey, maybe someone can relate to this and take something from it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I just always loved writing, and then when I kind of put the two together, it was like just magic. Like, I was just like, oh, I love doing this, and it's still one of my favorite things is songwriting. So.
You still find it cathartic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it usually the best songs are like 2 or 3 a.m.
Oh, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't be any other time. Can't be early in the morning. Has to be like past 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. and That's a good one.
Well, who are your musical inspirations?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. And I change them every day. But right now I love Sturgill Simpson and Chris Stapleton. Mm-hmm. I've always loved Miranda Lambert and Jewel. I grew up listening to Jewel, James Taylor. My dad's a big fan of those too, so I kind of grew up listening to those.
You can't not grow up in Massachusetts and not be a James Taylor fan.
Yeah, yeah. Alison Krauss, I mean, I have so many favorites. Sheryl Crow, Alanis Morissette. You know, I kind of started out a little bit in the folk scene, mm-hmm. because that is kind of big in Massachusetts. Sure, yeah. And so I kind of was a little bit folky, a little bit country, and then kind of steered a little bit more towards the countryside. But I still, like, I love all genres, you know, but the Americana stuff is really great, so.
What was the draw to Americana and country?
I think, well, my grandfather was a singer-songwriter, and he was kind of like bluegrass, mm-hmm. Kind of that down-home kind of stuff. So I really loved that, and I feel like maybe I kind of got that from him a little bit, just like that love for that kind of music, and it kind of meshed into, you know, the country Americana pop kind of thing. So I definitely was really inspired by him, and, you know, he passed away when I was younger, but I would go back and listen to his music. I'm like, oh my God, this is so weird, you know, because we never got to make that connection because he passed away, but I'm like, it was, like, so weird to, like, listen to his music and kind of see the similarities and, like, not even ever hearing the song before. So I'm like, wow. It was kind of interesting. It was very cool.
We're going to have more from other artists at our Live from the Lobby at Country Inn and Suites tour stops in a future episode or two. Now, next week on Nash Next The Journey, Todd's going to talk to us about his move from Hammond, Louisiana, going all the way up to Nashville. He's going to walk us through what his life in Music City has been like over the past few months. Hey, if you want to see Todd O'Neill perform live, believe me, it is something you just absolutely have to do to keep on living. Check out the dates that he's performing at toddoneillmusic.com. Todd's on Twitter at toddoneillmusic. And Love Again by Todd O'Neill on Nash Next Records, part of the Big Machine label group, is out now. Make sure you request it at your favorite country radio station, and then buy a copy for yourself. You can get it at iTunes or Amazon Music. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast at Apple Podcasts or wherever you consume your podcasts. That way we're always in your feed. This episode of Nash Next, The Journey, was written and produced by me with kind words from Charlie Cook. And you can find Nash Next on Twitter at Nash Next, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/NashNextCountry. Or the official website of Nash Next, NashNextPresents.com. I'm Robert Mathers. Thanks for listening.